Hacked Off the Shelf here on Breadbox Media. I'm your host, Pete Sox, the Catholic book blogger, and this week we have a pretty important topic to talk about, and it's not book-related. We're going to be talking to Brad Hahn. He's a deeply committed Catholic who helped found Solidarity Health Share as a means for Catholic Americans to have an ethical and affordable way to pay for medical care costs. Bradley is a Phoenix-based attorney who regularly consults on end-of-life issues as they relate to Catholic social doctrine. He assists in a variety of Arizona Catholic charities, including the Catholic Community Foundation for the Diocese of Phoenix. He speaks at churches and conferences throughout the U.S. on religious liberty, conscience issues as they relate to health care, and other bioethical decision-making issues important to the Catholic faith. Welcome to the show, Brad.
Oh, thank you, Pete. It's a blessing to be on here.
Awesome. Thank you for joining us. Now, most people recognize me as a book guy, but the topic of healthcare is such an important one, and it became very important to myself when I left a 20-year job working in a manufacturing environment to become self-employed. So I'm really glad and excited to have this opportunity to talk to you about how Solidarity Health Share helps people meet that need. And first question, a fun one, your last name's Hahn. Are you related to Scott?
No. And I joke with Hahn. I've met him a few times about, I say the difference between his Hahn lineage and my Hahn lineage is we never left the church. His did.
that was
a joke with him. He's got a good sense.
Yes, he does. That was my valiant attempt at tying this into a book, but oh well.
if your listeners want to call it, I did write a little booklet. It's not quite a book. It's about 8 pages long. It's called The Catholic Solution to the Healthcare Problem. And awesome. If they want to call our call center, they can get one sent out or they can get one emailed to them.
Great. Awesome. So
there's your booklet.
There we go.
Yeah.
So what is Solidarity Health Share?
Well, Solidarity Health Share is a national healthcare sharing ministry that provides an alternative way to fund healthcare costs while protecting and practicing our Catholic beliefs. It's both ethical and affordable, and our members are exempt from the fines under the Affordable Care Act. I know that's kind of just a lot of words, but kind of how the big picture works is this, is that like my family of four, we contribute $449 per month, and that goes into my share box. And if I need that money to pay for medical expenses that month, and as long as it's an eligible sharing expense pursuant to our member guidelines, you know, that money is used to pay for my providers for my health care. But a lot of times other families that may need some help, and so our computer automatically will allocate some of my money and other members' money to other member share boxes to make sure their needs are met. And that's a big thing how we do work here. It's truly brother helping brother, and, you know, neighbor helping neighbor.
Excellent. And we'll get into the nuts and bolts of it a little bit here as we go along today. But how and why did Solidarity Health Share become founded and started?
Well, the big thing is with my background in religious liberty law, and then I do a lot of teaching on end-of-life issues, and I'm certified in bioethics and from the National Catholic Bioethics Center. A group of local Catholics here in the Diocese of Phoenix approached me and said, Brad, you're the attorney here. What are we going to do about the Affordable Care Act? Because the Affordable Care Act is going to force us individuals to violate our conscience. It's going to force us to pay and participate in an amoral system that's going to force us to fund contraception, abortion, sterilization, gender reassignment surgeries. What's your answer? And I looked at him and I said, I don't have no idea besides I put my law hat on. We start suing the government again like everybody's been doing. And so then we got together and started thinking this through. Well, what's out there? What's a viable alternative for Christians, for Catholics out there? And we stumbled across this concept called medical cost-sharing ministry, which has basically been in existence in the United States for the last 40 to 50 years. And it's predominantly Mennonite groups that come together and share one another's burdens, and there's about four major Protestant groups. Well, we tried to work with some of those Protestant groups, but we couldn't see eye to eye theologically. You know, they had a different view of salvation than we did. They actually thought we were going to hell. And so so it's like, well, if you think that of us, I really don't want to work with you on this. And so we ended up partnering with a very small Mennonite church outside of Columbus, Ohio, who basically looked at me and said, Brad, you Catholics invented health sharing. It's from the early Christian church. That's where this idea comes from, where like-minded Christians come together and form and help and bear one another's burdens. You guys abandoned that in your church here in the United States and went to insurance. And they said, basically, here's a gift from this little Mennonite church to you so you can share this with all the Catholics around the country. And I just thought that's a beautiful, beautiful story, because this is the first collaboration I know of where the Catholics and the Mennonites have come together for the common good, mm-hmm. you know, to help protect conscience and help save souls here.
That's an awesome story. So yeah. we keep talking about healthcare sharing. You mentioned the share box system that you have in place at Solidarity. How exactly does that work? So you're paying into this share box, and then does I know there's some other companies out there that do this where you're actually cutting checks to people, but that's not how your system works, is it?
Yeah, it's not really, because a lot of times what you're referring to is when somebody gets sick or goes to the hospital and they're a member of a health sharing ministry, then all of a sudden 50 to 100 checks show up. Mm-hmm. You know, that's true sharing. But how we operate is kind of similar, but we have all the share box contribute to a member, and then that membership will be paid to the provider. So we do it just a little differently, more electronically than the old paper check system. And then also what's nice about that, too, is on our share box, you can see exactly who you're sharing with or what money you've spent and shared with other members that month. And you can send them a note of encouragement. Mm-hmm. So like I know I'm sharing with somebody's medical expenses this month. And so I just sent them, just to let you know, you're in our prayers, you know, and wishing you the best. And if there's anything I can do, just please reach out to us. And so we're trying to build a community here where like-minded believers come in and really share one another's burdens, not only financial burdens relating to medical care, but, you know, the spiritual burdens as well. Because health insurance and health care, you know, it impacts everybody here in the United States. Everybody's going to get sick and have to go to the hospital. So what a way for us as Solidarity here to reach out with the love and truth of Jesus Christ to be a part of that.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned something in that story between your organization and the Mennonites about coming together, and the point that they made that the Catholic Church, in essence, created health sharing. Now, some people may be uncomfortable with this system because, as you were told from that group, we become so ingrained in American society that we, with the health insurance system that we have in place, and Americans can get stuck in their ways and not want to change. What can you tell people about making that change that would make it easier for them?
Well, the big thing is there's no guarantee, even in health sharing ministries, and there's no guarantee in the insurance industry either. So that's kind of the first main obstacle. And the second main obstacle is it's amoral. And, you know, we're participating in an amoral healthcare system. And so this gets back to the fundamental issues where you have to look at and analyze this from a moral and theological perspective on whether you're cooperating in evil. You know, and Father Tad Pavolchik wrote a great article about whether individuals can participate in the Affordable Care Act. And his conclusion was yes, by going through his immediate cooperation of evil. But the issue here is that his argument says because there's no viable alternatives available. Well, that's what we are right now, is Solidarity is a viable alternative to health insurance. And so then at that point, we need to really reexamine if we can really participate in this system. There's another reason, too, is why we have a rate so low. Sometimes I'll say, well, how can you, Brad, can contribute $4.49 a month? How can Solidarity do this? And the big issue is Solidarity, we act as stewards for our membership. And so we go in and step in on behalf of our members and negotiate a fair and reasonable price for medical care. You know, I'll give you an example. Is we had a member who had a heart attack, and he's doing well today, thanks be to God. But the emergency room submitted a bill to him, and which is then turned into Solidarity for $174,000.
Whoa!
So we took that bill, got it itemized, and see what a fair and reasonable base price would be according to Medicare. And we offered and countered with a $17,000 payment, and they accepted it. And I know they still made money there. And so that's what's happening in our country right now. These overinflation of medical bills is no one's paying wholesale for healthcare anymore. And so that's where we're stepping in and saying, no, provider, don't play these games. And I'll give you another example of how the game is played. My son got injured playing basketball, so he had to go do some physical therapy. My wife, Julie, walked into the physical therapist and said, what's a fair and reasonable price here for you guys per visit? And they said, $80 a visit. And she says, great. We're cash pay members of a medical cost-sharing ministry called Solidarity. kindly submit the bill to them. And they submit about 13 bills on an average of $320 per visit. And so my wife called them back and said, what are you guys doing? Why are you billed $320 when you promised to bill $80 a visit? And you're going to be shocked at what they said, Pete. They said, Julie, we thought Solidarity was insurance, so we billed it like insurance. We overbilled to see what sticks.
Wow.
And so to me, that's part of an amoral system as well. You know, and so that's how we can penetrate these costs, you know, and the larger we get, you know, we can absorb greater and greater costs, you know. Mm-hmm. Thank God we're growing so quickly. We already have 1,700 families that we're responsible for. And there's another issue, too, I want to share with you why I'm refusing to participate in the Affordable Care Act. And it gives an example here is in 2016, the health insurance companies earned $13.1 billion in this country. That's an increase of 46% from 2015.
Wow.
That increase is our money, Pete. Mm-hmm. That's the money that they're taxing. And so you think about all this and they say, well, you know, there's that individual mandate where everybody has to have insurance or get fined. And in 2015, 6.7 billion people in this country were fined, over $3 billion. And this is what's staggering to me is 37% of those people had income levels of $25,000 or less. They were fined. 79% had incomes of $50,000 or less, and 92% had incomes of $75,000 or less. So this 92% of this $3 billion that was accumulated by the federal government came from the lower middle class, those making $75,000 or less. To me, it's an amoral system when you're robbing from the poor.
Yep.
And giving to the affluent insurance companies. That's another thing is that's why I cannot participate in this amoral system anymore.
And it's a system that was sold to us. It was supposed to help the lower middle class, which is amazingly enough not happening from that example.
Yeah, your example. And I'll give you another example how this is rigged against us and how it's just a boon to the insurance industry right now is, you know, when President Trump announced that he wasn't going to make those payments, you know, to the cost sharing reduction payments to the insurance companies, mm-hmm. which was estimated at $7 billion for 2017. And so, you know what the insurance companies did to counter that? So they're getting $7 billion less from this subsidy. They increased the cost of the silver plan. And so that means that they're going to get a bigger subsidy based on free health care called zero cost premiums. So this thing was rigged. If a president tries to stop this thing or a Congress tries to stop this thing, everything else will sit in place. And the premiums are still going to go up and insurance companies are still going to make their 46% increase in profit. And to me, the whole system has got to go. It's got to go because we, as a society, we cannot afford to prop up these insurance industry anymore.
Nope, no way. Well, we're going to take a quick
break. It's going to bankrupt us.
Oh, indeed. We're going to take a quick break, and there's plenty of stuff here to discuss, Brad. We'll be right back. You've been listening to Off the Shelf here on Breadbox Media. Stay tuned. Pumpkin spice, southern pecan, apple pie, and maple French toast are just a few of the delicious fall coffee flavors from Grim Bean Coffee Company. With over 20 coffee options, Grim Bean has the perfect coffee for you. Let Grim Bean Coffee Company deliver artisan whole bean or ground coffee directly to you. Visit grimbeancoffee.com today for 10% off your order with the code BREADBOX at checkout. Experience the best with Grim Bean Coffee Company. Here on Breadbox Media, I'm your host, Pete Sox, a Catholic book blogger, and this week we're not talking about books, we're talking about something that is more important. important, perhaps, and that's healthcare. And we're here with Brad Hahn from Solidarity Healthshare, who's been sharing some great information with us. Brad, I'd like to get into the nuts and bolts of how this system, how your system works. And we touched upon it just a little bit. But so there's a amount that someone pays into the system. And the first thing I'd like to cover this segment is what levels of programs or coverage, if that's the right word to use, does Solidarity offer?
Yeah, we have basically three different programs, but our most comprehensive program, a single can pay $199 per month, a couple $299, and a family $449, and that's our most comprehensive program. And that program then will have eligible sharing medical expenses up to $1 million per bill. And so there is an annual and shared amount, which is basically the amount that the member has to come out of pocket. And so for a family, it's $1,500. For a couple, it's $1,000. And for a single, it's $500. But kind of the big picture how that works is, and my wife is a couple weeks ago, she looked at me and she says, Brad, I am so grateful for Solidarity. And I said, in what way? She said, all these premiums are going to start seeing a huge increase, you know, next year. How can a family budget their money when they don't know what the cost of health care is going to be next year? Right. Solidarity, we have an idea that we're going to pay $449 a month with our first $1,500. I can budget for my family. Mm-hmm. And to me, that was the key selling point for my wife, not only on the conscience protection and the amorality of these subsidies, but how she can rest assured that she knows what our budget's going to be next year. And right. We just got a call from somebody in our call center from the good state of Pennsylvania. And this gentleman called in and said his family's paying, has a $14,000 deductible, and his premium, monthly premium was going to increase from $1,600 to $2,400 per month. And I don't know about you, Pete, but I don't know any middle-class family that can afford spending $42,800 per year on medical care before insurance even kicks in. You know, we're paying more for health insurance now than we are for our mortgages on our house. And that's a crime. That's what's got to get changed. That's right. What Congress has to get on the ball here and fix this.
Right. Now you raised,
they've created the problem. They need to fix it.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Now, you raised something there that hits a little close to home for me, and that is the state of Pennsylvania. Originally, when I left my job and had to find a health care situation, and, you know, to be honest, I'm in talks with you guys right now. At the time, there was something goofy going on that Pennsylvania wasn't recognizing Solidarity Healthshare. What was that issue, and how have you amended that for our listeners who are listening from the state of Pennsylvania?
Yeah, states don't actually recognize health sharing ministries. So a recognition of a health sharing ministry comes from the federal government at Center for Medicare Services. And so we submitted all of our paperwork to be treated and have our members be treated as a valid member of a health sharing ministry. But most states, not most states, I should say 30 states, have what we call safe harbor exemptions. It says, hey, as long as you guys work in my state and you follow these rules, you know, you guys, we're going to leave you alone, basically, and not be regulated by the insurance commissioner. And there was some confusion when we first started health sharing ministry, whether the statute in Pennsylvania, whether we followed it, accordingly to how it seems fit. And so right now is after reviewing it again a second time the last couple of months, I decided, and my legal team has decided, because we have a very good attorney team back in D.C. that's working with us on this, we decided that Solidarity does meet the definition in the state of Pennsylvania, and so we decided to open up Solidarity to Pennsylvania.
Awesome. That's good news. Great news.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, and so the only difference is for you Pennsylvania listeners is our computer system hasn't caught up with that decision yet, and so you cannot do an application online, but you simply just have to call into our call center and do a paper application. So, it's amazing to me how sophisticated technology is where, we make an executive decision, but it could take 3 months for IT to fix it. It's pretty amazing how complex that stuff is.
Right, right. Now, again, like I said, in May of this year, I left a job where I was working in a manufacturing environment for 20 past years. And the biggest question that kept getting hit with me was, and I do freelance, obviously, I'm here on the show interviewing you today. The biggest question I kept getting hit with was, what are you doing about health insurance? What are you doing about health insurance? And to me, that's kind of sad in today's society that people have to sit there And that has to be their number one concern when wanting to strike out and do something on their own and not, quote unquote, working for the man.
Right. Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And I think that's where solidarity can be an incredible solution for small business owners, for people that are kind of waiting to get into Medicare, you know, at 65, and maybe they want to retire at 55. We can be a good solution for people like that. You know, and I know most of our members are self-employed. They have incomes less than $75,000 a year. And so we are really a solution for that lower middle class who refuses to participate in an amoral system and be forced to violate their conscience. So that's kind of the big picture what I'm seeing. But we're also, there was just a post on either, I think it was Twitter yesterday. I'm not big on social media. I just have a Twitter account that I check once in a while. And the Twitter account, somebody tweeted, and that's the right term, I think, tweeted.
Yes.
My teenagers always give me a hard time if I'm not using the right language. You know, so they somebody tweeted out and said, hey, even though I'm working for a big business, I chose not to go with my big business insurance plan. I signed up for solidarity because I did not want to violate my conscience. Mm. And I was and then he says, and plus I saved money. So
that's,
you know,
yeah.
And that's, I thought the number one reason why people would sign up for this would be the money, but it's the savings of money that we can provide. But what's really been the number one reason people are calling in, faithful Catholics, faithful Christians do not want to be forced to violate their conscience.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and they're refusing to participate in an amoral health insurance system. That's the number one reason why people are signing up for solidarity.
Got it. So I want to circle back on those two examples you gave, and I'm going to ask you for some more too, so be ready. But how that worked with particularly your wife going into the doctor and asking them what that fair amount was, and then you guys turn around and fought to get that right. Just so that people truly understand what's happening here, you know, you go into the doctor, you have your doctor visit, you tell them you're on a health share plan, and then they're supposed to submit to Solidarity if this person's a paying member, correct?
Right, correct.
And,
yep, and so that's exactly
right.
I'll give
you
an example of just what happened to me personally. I had to go to the urgent care for bronchitis, so I walked in and presented my Solidarity Health Share card, and they said, what the heck is this? And I tried to explain it to them. I said, if you don't understand what it is, why don't you call provider relations? They'll walk everything through with you and explain exactly how it works. And they said, Mr. Ron, just because we do not know what this is, will you be willing just to give a down payment of $75? And I said, absolutely. And so I gave them my debit card. They hit it for $75. Then they submitted a bill for about $500 to Solidarity. And Solidarity is in the process right now of renegotiating that bill down to about $200. And so if they get it negotiated down to $200, then $125 is going to get paid to the provider, the urgent care. And my $75 is going to get reimbursed to me because I came out of pocket for that. And so assuming that I've made my annual and shared amount of $1,500 for my family. And so that's how that system works. And so we try to get into a direct negotiation between our team at Solidarity and the provider. But sometimes, like my wife Julie, what she did, she was so upset that they were trying to take advantage of Solidarity. She says, I'm calling this. I made the arrangement. I'm calling them to yell at them. And so we have members doing both things. So we have members going in and getting great discounts because they're fighting as hard as they can. And what really touched me too, what happened is somebody called into our call center and submitted a bill for $1,500 that was eligible for reimbursement. And they basically said, I'm just submitting it for my records. I do not want reimbursed for this because I can financially afford this. I want to have that $1,500 in there for another family in Solidarity who may need it and can't afford it. Wow. And I was thinking, wow, that's a great community we're forming, number one. And number two, I was thinking, would you ever do that to an insurance company? You know, don't worry about paying me. And so that's the culture we're trying to create here, that is this community where we're responsible for one another.
And all this renegotiation that's going on behind the scenes that Solidarity is doing is part of that monthly cost that a person's is. There's nothing additional for doing that. That's all just something you guys are doing as
correct.
Part of the service.
Yeah, correct. And so then how that works is out of that $449 monthly contribution for my family, $24 of that goes to administration expenses. So out of that $24 per member, that's what we use to negotiate the bills, to get the checks issued to the provider, you know, to run the computer system, to run the overhead. That's sort of our goal is, that's how much we're charging for administration.
And that's included in the monthly fee already, no, nothing on top.
Correct.
Awesome. So let's go back to the basics just a little bit, and that is the question, what makes Solidarity a Catholic ministry? And you've given us a lot of reasons why we need it, but I'm going to ask the question again, why do we need it in place of healthcare?
Well, the big thing is, and you know this too, as much as you read, is throughout the history of the world, what's the first place government attacks? The first person, the first institution the government attacks is the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like in Nazi Germany, they went after the Catholic schools, you know, to make sure there was no Christian indoctrination. And that's the same thing that's happening in our country right now, is we're being forced by our federal government to violate, to pay for abortions, you know, gender reassignment surgeries and stuff like that. And they're coming directly after the Catholic Church like that. And, you know, and that was released when Podesta, you know, Clinton's key person in the White House, basically says now it's time for a reawakening of the Catholic Church. You know, we can take it down, you know, based on their contraception mentality and such. And that's where, as Catholics, we have to resist that. Not only do we have to call that out, and when something like oppressive, like the Affordable Care Act, you know, we have to protest that. We have to call our congressman about that. You know, we have to lobby for that. And that's what we're trying to do at Solidarity. That's what part of that $24 a month is. We're going in D.C. and lobbying to try to protect the Catholic Church here. And so that's what we're trying to do is, but until, and they're going to keep coming at us. You know, and I'll give an example is a lot of providers in this country that provide health care, a lot of good Catholic providers, they're concerned that they're not going to be able to accept insurance in the future because of these onerous burdens. You know, like in California, you know, all health insurance plans must provide for abortions. You know, that's state law. You know, and so that we have to find a safe haven. And so if we can find a place like Solidarity HealthShare where we can still fight, you know, the little sisters of the poor can keep fighting, you know, like they've been doing. And even though they don't have that fight anymore because of the Trump, you know, executive order, but it's a way for us Catholics to be faithful to the church throughout. And to me is, I think that's why we're so successful at Solidarity, is because we're being faithful to God and the teaching of his church, and faithful to the Catholic social teaching of subsidiary, solidarity, and the common good. That's why we're rewarded. That's why this thing is working so well, in my opinion.
Awesome. So we're going to take another quick break, and we'll be right back. You've been listening to Off the Shelf here on Breadbox Media. Media. I'm your host, Pete Sox, Catholic Book Blogger. Today we're talking with Brad Hahn about Solidarity Healthcare, a very important topic. And Brad, you've given us some great examples, but I think listeners probably would like to hear some more. So do you have any other examples of success stories within your program?
Yeah, one of our big success stories is we had a gentleman that had a stroke, a really bad stroke, and he was paralyzed for a little while. He's doing much better in rehab now, but he's been on rehab now for 3 months. And those bills, you know, got pretty costly, but we, through our discounting and our negotiations, were able to get those down to a fair and reasonable level. But to this day, his name's Tom, and you can see some testimonials on social media about him. But he's just so excited that we stepped in and we helped him in that time of need. And so that's the kind of success we want to have, and that's the kind of stories I like to hear, because we're impacting people's lives, you know. And we had another call come in last month, and you know, she was almost in tears, and she basically said, you know, I'm so grateful for solidarity, the money my family's saving, I could on healthcare, I can now afford to buy our first family home together. And so that's the kind of things we're trying to do is when we do the right thing, we're faithful to God in all, even the small matters. And some people say this isn't a small matter, you know, violating your conscience. But, you know, I wake up every morning and try to align my life with Jesus Christ and the teaching of his church. And that's what I want. That's what I expect out of solidarity as well.
Right. That's awesome stuff. And I got to tell you, the thing that really appeals to me about what you guys are doing is that back end administration part where, you know, you walk into a doctor's office and the story of your wife's incident is, you know, proof of it. They thought you were a health insurance company, so they charged her four times more than what they would. Yeah. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, and that's why this is so amoral, is this third-party payer system. And the other problem with this third-party payer system is the one who controls the payer system controls the morals and the ethics. So who's controlling the payer system in this country? The federal government, state government, and health insurance companies. So these amoral entities that's what's driving the morals and ethics in our country. And so when I first got into the health sharing ministry to look at this as an option, you know, I bought into the conscience protection issue. But then now once we get more involved with how corrupt this third-party payer system is, you know, that's what we're attacking right now. And we got great systems in place. We're still working on systems right now to make this even more efficient. But anytime you separate the consumer from the pricing, then you get out of control costs. And you remember in the 80s when Ronald Reagan administration was paying $640 for a toilet seat. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and those kind of issues is the reason that happens is because whose money is the Pentagon spending? Our taxpayer money. We're separated from that process.
Right.
And if you look in the medical system, what costs have not increased tremendously? It's the stuff people pay cash for: dentistry, you know, cosmetic surgery, LASIK eye surgery, you know, going get an eye exam. Those prices have not increased. A lot of them have decreased over the last 5-6 years. And so that's what we got to do is create and this is going to be sometimes it's a bad word in some circles. We have to have a free market solution. Mm. And that's what solidarity is about. Let's have a free market solution where you look the doctor in the eye and say, doctor, I really need this procedure. Give me a fair and reasonable price for this procedure. And by the way, solidarity is going to check it out to make sure it's fair and reasonable for me and my family. And I still want you to have a just wage and a comfortable living, but I'm going to make sure that that it's fair in the marketplace. And that's what we're solving for. And I was back at Health and Human Services a couple weeks ago meeting with some of the directors in D.C., and they're saying, this is what you guys are doing. This is amazing how you're penetrating and having a free market solution here. So we're starting to get even the federal government excited about what we're doing.
Well, tell us a little bit more about that, because I think that's interesting because – and that was one of my questions, so let's go down that path a little bit. And this all started because of the Affordable Care Act. That's what got you pumped up to come up with a solution to combat it, so to speak. And, you know, that presidency is gone. You have Trump now who seems to be open to fixing that. You know, will Washington let him do that? We don't know. What was their reaction to what you had? You gave us a little cursory glance at what that was, but what truly was HHS's reaction to your program?
Well, first of all, they were, even though Health and Human Services runs the Affordable Care Act, you know, along with the IRS and the Treasury Department, they didn't know very much about health sharing ministry. So I explained it to them, how our process works, how our computer systems work, how we negotiate a fair and reasonable price. And they just looked at me and said, I encourage you to keep doing this. You guys are getting amazing results for your memberships and keep going. So we got a lot of words of encouragement. And I have another meeting with some directors next week when I'm back in D.C. So we'll continue this conversation. But, I want to touch on another point you talked about is, you know, under the Affordable Care Act, when Obama thrusted this upon our throats, this tax system that he created, and Trump's trying to roll it back a little bit. You know, the president, the only thing he can do right now is change through executive order and change through legislative rulemaking, you know, in Health and Human Services. And like he just passed this, submitted this rule for final rulemaking that went effective a few weeks ago, where employers, you know, like Hobby Lobby and Little Sisters of Poor, they don't have to provide for contraception and abortifacient drugs and such like that. But that's just an administrative rule law change. And so once the new president comes in, they can roll that back and go back to where we were under the Obama administration.
Right.
And to me, that is not, this is such a short-sighted solution. So now is not the time just to say, oh, we got a victory. Let's, you know, pack our bats and go home.
Mm-hmm.
No, now we need to push harder to make sure we can get Congress to act to make this repeal permanent, you know, this conscience violations. And that's what we're trying to fight for here at Solidarity, is make sure we have the right to exist amongst this amoral system we're fighting against.
Right, because if we don't, like you said, put the exclamation point at the end of the sentence, it's just going to be a constant 4 to 8 years ping pong match all the time, depending upon what flavor president's occupying the Oval Office.
Yeah, exactly. And I met with a senator and another senator from an associate from Senator Graham's office who wrote the Graham-Cassidy bill a couple weeks ago. And I basically challenged them. I said, to me, it's embarrassing that I have a God-given right to my conscience, that that's guaranteed through the Declaration of Independence and the U.S. Constitution, that I'm not being forced to violate my individual conscience. Conscience was such an important factor with the founding fathers of this country. You know, James Madison, Thomas Jefferson talks about it a lot. And Madison talks a lot about it in the Federalist Papers. So I am now coming to my big government in Washington, D.C., where there's billions of dollars of wealth here, and begging my federal government to follow the U.S. Constitution. I said, you should be embarrassed by this, that you're not proactively protecting my conscience here on health care. And they looked at me and like I was from Mars. You know, yeah, that's a good point, Mr. Hahn. You know, we really should do that. I said, yes, you should, and you should do it tomorrow. And so that's the kind of awareness we get, and that's the kind of awareness and kind of push we need to get in D.C. right now.
Right, right. Now, okay, so a member goes to your website, or a potential member goes to your website. I'd like to talk a little bit about how they go through the sign-up process.
Yes, and so there's a digital application they can fill out, or they can fill out a paper application. And then once that application is filled out, it's submitted electronically or, you know, via fax if you do it by a paper application to our call center. And then that it has some medical history on there and such like that, so kind of a medical questionnaire. Then that's submitted to our nursing department just to vet it. It's for pre-existing conditions and to see what's eligible for sharing and such like that, and just to make sure we're what the health of the person is. And then we make a decision on whether to receive them as a member or not. So there are different ways we treat pre-existing conditions, and I know we're probably running out of time on this segment. We can carry that over for the next talk, but there are ways we deal with pre-existing conditions, and that kind of determines whether the member becomes a member or not.
All right, well, let's do that. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back, and we'll talk about those pre-existing conditions and how you handle them in Solidarity. You've been listening to Off the Shelf here on Redbox Media, and we'll be right back. I'm Pete Sox, the host of Off the Shelf here on Breadbox Media. Head on over to my show page at breadboxmedia.com and support my show and our work here at Breadbox Media by becoming a premium member today. And we believe it's more about giving than receiving. When you become a premium member for just $9.99 a month, you unlock incredible discounts from our sponsors like Rugged Rosaries, Catholic Books Direct, Lifeboat Coffee, the Mass Box, and the Harrisburg Senators, just to name a few. And it's even better. Every month, Breadbox Media chooses a nonprofit organization to partner with, and 10% of every premium membership is dedicated to that nonprofit. Join the revolution in Catholic media. Become a premium member by visiting my page today. Redbox Media. I'm your
host, Pete Socks, a Catholic book blogger. Today, we're not talking about books. We're talking about healthcare and the health sharing program by Solidarity Healthcare. It's been a great three segments so far. We're here with Brad Holland today, who's given us a lot of information to consider. We left the last segment, Brad, talking about pre-existing conditions and how Solidarity handles those. I'm sure there's plenty of listeners out there who have such circumstances where they'll need to know how you address that. So can you please tell us how that is
handled? Yeah, exactly. Well, first of all, our goal at Solidarity, so we can be a true option for everyone, you know, including the working poor and the poor in this country, is our goal is to receive everyone we can. And that's going to be our ultimate goal, but it may take us a few years to build up our sharing power to do that. And so right now we have to be good stewards with our membership's money. And that's a primary what we need to do to make sure our members, you know, can survive here in this out-of-control healthcare craze that we're dealing with right now. And so the issue of pre-existing conditions is treated in a few ways. The first way is if you have a pre-existing condition that could be justified or warranted for a lifestyle change. Maybe you're a little overweight. Maybe you smoke. Maybe you have high blood pressure, pre-diabetes, or something like that. We will take members on, but then they have to enroll into our coaching program, which is an additional $80 a month, to try to justify and help the member have that lifestyle change. And if you go on that coaching program that we have and you have high blood pressure, that is not considered a pre-existing condition anymore. It'll be fully shareable as long as it meets our member guidelines for what is shareable or not. So that's the first way we handle it, is through a coaching program. And there's some things out there that, you know, cannot be justified by a lifestyle change. You know, like maybe you have something wrong with your back, or you just had knee surgery or something like that. Sometimes we will take that member and allow them to be a member, but then we kind of stair-step in that pre-existing condition. So we'll say, your first year, you know, anything with that pre-existing condition is not eligible for sharing. Year two, it's eligible up to $25,000 for sharing. Year three, it's up to $50,000. And then year four, it's fully shareable at any kind of expense, as long as it's an eligible medical expense pursuant to our member guidelines. So that's how we kind of stair-step that in.
Gotcha. Now, these pre-existing conditions, is there any testing someone has to go under, or is this all honor system?
It's an honor system, but a lot of times we see how truthful people are on their applications once they start submitting medical bills. And I'll give an example. We had somebody disclose on their application that they were at a certain weight and that they only drank maybe one or two drinks a week. And then we just got a medical bill submitted from them, and the doctor is refusing to have heart surgery with this gentleman because he's 80 pounds over than he said he was for us, and he drinks two bottles of wine a day.
Whoa!
And so to me, that's a blatant violation of trust with us. But we decided that is, I consider that a moral breach, that he lied to us on his application. Mm-hmm. But then also, again, too, is it tells me he probably has some issues with alcohol. And so what we're doing is we're saying we're not going to pay for these medical expenses right now because you lied to us on your application. But we are working on right now to get him into a treatment program in his state. That's going to be subsidized by the government there to try to get him the help he needs. And as long as he agrees with us that he's going to go on that treatment path and stay clean from alcohol, we will keep him on as a member of Solidarity, even though he lied to us, because I think it was the sickness, the disease that lied to us, you know. And so we're trying to do the right thing and make sure we just don't cast him away, because he needs some help. So we want to make sure we're there to help him. That's, in his time of need.
That's pretty awesome. And that's something that, again, that back end of Solidarity, working for the people. That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah, working for the kingdom of God, because we want to make sure he gets right. And there's another thing we do, too, is that a lot of the health sharing ministries won't even talk about is Solidarity. It's an eligible, shareable medical expense for somebody who wants to get a reversal from their sterilization. So if a man had his, you know, vasectomy, and then he wants to get restored to how God's body intended him to be, then we can set that up, and we'll pay for a one-time, reversal of that vasectomy. So we're trying to go above and beyond what most healthcare providers will do, because we want to restore that man to back how God designed him.
Awesome. That's incredible. So
We still have some time here on this segment, and before we wrap up, I'd like to hear some more of these success stories. Do you have any more you can share with us?
Yeah, I think I have a lot of them I shared with you already, but we're just getting calls every day coming in, and the one great person I ran into after Mass one day here in Phoenix, and she says, "Brad, you're Brad Hahn, right?" And I said, "Yes." She says, "We've been members of Solidarity. How are we doing so far as Solidarity?" You know, and she says, "Because my kids, I want to send them to the doctor, but I've been waiting as long as I could because I want to make sure there's enough money there for other people." And I said, other members, and I said, "Listen, I really appreciate your concern for others, but we want to make sure the health of your kids are just as important to us. Mm-hmm. You know, we're doing fine, and we have enough members right now. Please take your kids into the doctor." And so that's amazing what we've been hearing is just how people treat this as a true community. They understand it's their money, that it's the other members' money, that it's not an insurance company's money, that we're a national not-for-profit. We're not there to make a profit. We're there to be good stewards of our membership's money. And so that's the message we're trying to convey out there. And that's what's been amazing about some of these stories like this one here.
Really amazing. So I think it's important that as we wind down, we talk about open enrollment, and that is now, but it's shorter than it has been in the past, correct?
Yeah. Open enrollment starts today, and I always joke because it's on All Souls Day today it's starting, but it really, the talk started on Halloween, and what a crazier thing, scary thing to talk about than healthcare premiums increases on Halloween. But you know, it started, and basically, if you want to enroll in an Affordable Care Act plan for next year, you have the next 6 weeks to do so. But what's nice about a health sharing ministry is there's no open enrollment. And so you can join a member of Solidarity. You can join anytime throughout the year. You know, like you talked about when you left a job, maybe it's in mid-year. You won't have to go on COBRA or stick with that employer insurance during that interim. You could go and get Solidarity right away. So even though open enrollment's a big deal for the general public, it's not a big deal for us because we're always open and open to have new members join us throughout the year.
That's awesome. So what are your long terms for Solidarity Health Share in the next 5-10 years?
Well, the next 5-10 years, I want to be at 50,000 households, and I want to make sure that we have processes and systems in place where we're getting and fighting for our members to still get the best cash pay price out there. Number two is impacting as many souls as we can because healthcare impacts everybody. So I want to have more outreach to crisis pregnancy centers, you know, example, if somebody calls in and says, do you cover or do you have shareable expense of birth control? And we can say no, but I want to have a resource available to refer that person out to another diocese, maybe to have an education on contraception, you know, on natural family planning methods and such like that. And so we may end up starting or just partnering with a lot of organizations like that. And we want to be there to be the Catholic solution to the healthcare crisis. That's our goal.
That's awesome. Well, Brad, that's about all we have time for today. I want to thank you so much for spending it with us and a great topic that I think deserves some airtime. And you have a great resource. Good stories you're sharing with everybody. And do you have any closing thoughts?
I just want to encourage everyone to continue to pray. Pray for our country. Pray for President Trump's leadership. Pray for the adjustments, maybe the repeal and replace of the Affordable Care Act. But most importantly, as we're praying for our members and all your listeners, Pete, make sure they're kindly pray for us as well as a ministry of the church.
And we will do that. Thank you again, Brad. You've been listening to Off the Shelf here on Breadbox Media. I'm your host, Pete Sox, a Catholic book blogger. And until next time, God bless.